Very good Thursday morning to you. Nice to be with you. We are in Southern California, and I am broadcasting from the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Welcome to the program. Lots to get done, as always. So let me set the show up for you right now. Your telephone number is toll-free. If you know what you want to talk about, you should call me right now. 1-800-636-8686. The first interview today is not until 40 past the hour, where Denver Nuggets head coach Michael Malone joins me. So between now and then, we can talk about whatever you want. Once again, toll-free in the U.S., in Canada, wherever you are, 1-800-636-8686. You can follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome, and you can email the program at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Coming up in the second hour, Atlanta Falcons running back Tevin Coleman. In hour number three, Golden State forward Alphonso McKinney. So those are the three interviews, and I've got a lot to cover today. And I will start right here. You know, I'm not sure how many times I have started a show by reminding everybody it is a sports show. But sports is not that important on a day like this. And this is another day where we all wake up to news that 12 people were murdered in the Borderline Bar and Grill in Thousand Oaks, California. We wake up to that story yet again. Now, as many of you know, I am from Southern California. This is a show that is based in Southern California. I've essentially lived my entire life in Southern California, and I know that area very well. I know Thousand Oaks. I've driven past the borderline. It's right off the Ventura Freeway. I have close friends in that area. It's not far from where I grew up. And like me, a lot of you listening right now know Thousand Oaks. Many of you listening right now live in the area. Maybe your kids have played sports there. Maybe you've gone to dinner there. Maybe you've shopped there. Maybe you've taken in a movie there. Last night, a bunch of college kids went to a bar for college night and country line dancing. And many of them never came home. So, if you think that I'm going to see that on the news and then just shrug and talk about Le'Veon Bell's contract situation or some crazy dunks in the association, you could not be more wrong. I'll get to these topics at some point, but I can't start the show with it. And not right now. Not when this is happening. Now, a lot of sports talk radio is about making things that are unimportant seem really important. But I'm certainly not going to make things that are important seem unimportant. And when a dozen people are murdered right up the road from me, I'm going to start the program and talk about that. Now, some of you might not want to hear this. And if you're tempted to change your station right now, I understand that. I would rather that you didn't do that. But if you do, think about why you're doing that. Think about why this makes you uncomfortable. And then maybe take some action. Some of you might want to view sports as a place to escape the news. And it is. Certainly it's that. But you know what else is a place to escape the news? A country line dancing bar in Thousand Oaks, California. Or a movie theater in Colorado. Or a college campus in Virginia. Or a high school in Florida. A concert in Las Vegas. A church in Texas. A high school in Colorado. A club in Florida. An elementary school in Connecticut. Those are just a few of the high-profile mass murders. There are so many more. Maybe you can remember some of them. Maybe you remember all of them. And maybe you remember none of them. Do you remember Columbine? Remember we all said that would never happen again. It did. Remember Sandy Hook? Remember how we said that was the last straw? That was never going to happen again. It has. We're not even 2 weeks removed from a mass murder of senior citizens in a synagogue in Pittsburgh, and we're already going through it again. I mean, mass murders have become so commonplace, it's practically part of the weather report. I'll tell you about it. We'll go to a commercial break, and then people say thoughts and prayers, and then they move on. So let me try something. Let me read you a quick piece from a CNN report. Jason Kaufman was one of the parents anxiously awaiting news Thursday morning about those inside the bar. His son Cody, 22, was there with friends. And while his friends got out, they didn't know where Cody was, he told CNN and HLN. The father told CNN he can track his son's cell phone and the tracking indicates it was still in the bar Thursday morning. Quote, "It's at the club. It's not moving. That's the problem," said Coleman, who was awaiting information at a center for relatives. Quote, "I'm very emotional right now. This is my firstborn son, and it's tough," end quote. The father said Cody's friends woke him up at 1 a.m. to tell him about the shooting. Quote, "I'm afraid that Cody ran to the gunman instead of away from the gunman. That's the kind of boy Cody is," end quote. So this is a father saying that about his 22-year-old son. A father talking about how he can track his son's cell phone, but the phone's not moving. I mean, can you imagine that? Think about that. I know I am. So your thoughts and your prayers for the victims, their families, their friends, plus the survivors who had to witness what happened last night. It's important. It's really important, but it's not enough. There have been so many thoughts and prayers after mass murderers over the years that if there were enough, there wouldn't be more mass murders. And that moment of silence has always been followed by more moments of silence and then nothing else. At a certain point, we need to decide as a country if this is okay, if this is normal. Because right now, by not doing anything, we're saying it is okay and it is normal. We're accepting it. We're saying it's okay that people can be murdered indiscriminately in clubs, in churches, in synagogues, at schools, at concerts, and in movie theaters. Now, I don't know the answers. I don't have the answers. But I know that what we're doing is not enough. And I do genuinely send my thoughts and my prayers to the victims of the Thousand Oaks shooting, to their families, to their friends, to the survivors who have to live with this pain. And I would suggest that the best way to honor their lives is to do something, anything, to make sure that this does not happen again. So if you do want to talk about this, we can talk about this. You can call me toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. You know you can follow me on Twitter, at Jim Rome. You can also email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. I've got lots of other things to talk about, of course, but nothing more important than that. We have an episode of the Jim Rome podcast with Gary Payton that I want to reset. The Thursday night matchup tonight that I'll talk about. But again, if this is what you want to talk about, you know where to find me, and I'm very happy to do it. Michael Malone coming up later on this hour. We'll talk some Falcons football next hour. Golden State forward Alphonso McKinney coming up in hour number three. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-8686. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Once again, our phone lines are open, 1-800-636-8686. And I shared my thoughts at the top of the program. If you want to talk about this, let's go ahead and talk about this. You have that telephone number. And again, if you want to tweet me your thoughts, you can do that at Jim Rome or email me directly. When you're on the road, safety is your number one priority. It includes maintaining the inside of your vehicle and the outside, like your windshield. If you can't see, you cannot drive. So when it comes to vehicle safety, visibility is a risk that is not worth taking. It's about more than dirt and debris. It's also about rain, fog, snow, all the other elements that can keep you from seeing clearly. So you want to visit your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store during the See Better, Drive Safer sale. You'll find deals on name brand headlights, wiper blades, fluids, snow brushes, water repellent, fog lights, backup cameras, parking sensors, and so much more, all to help you see better and drive more safely. You'll find wide-angle rearview mirrors for a more panoramic view and blind-spot mirrors for the trickier views and storage and cargo holders to organize all your stuff in your trunk. So, you can see out the back window. Winter is coming. Be ready. The See Better, Drive Safer sale at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Once again, I want to take some telephone calls. 1-800-636-8686. Other things. And we will get to the topics of the day. I did have an amazing conversation with Gary Payton for the episode 58 of the Jim Rome podcast. The glove is something else. I knew it would be good. I had not spoken to him in some time, but it was so much better than I expected. I can't wait to reset that, and I will a little bit later on. If you've not heard that episode, don't do it during the show, but do it later today, later tonight, or whenever you want, on demand. It's great. Le'Veon Bell back on social yesterday. And, you know, I talked about this on 97.3 The Fan in San Diego this morning. I never thought that I would say this about this guy. I never thought that I would say this about one of the best players I've ever seen. But my man is boring. And if he's not boring, his situation has gotten really boring. Got thoughts on that? Bryce Harper reportedly turned down a $300 million deal from the Nationals. So if you're going to turn down $300 mil, you must think there's $350 someplace else. I'm not sure where he's going to get that, but Scott Boras is doing what he does best. That story is coming up a little bit later on. In the association last night, there were a number of electric plays. Dudes were getting up and getting down and throwing it down. That's coming up later on. But again, as you might imagine, I couldn't really bring myself to start the program with that. And on some level, as much as I'm here to do a job, and I will talk about those things, I don't have as much interest in those other things. But I'll get to them a little bit later on. Some reaction on Twitter. And I'm glad that a lot of you are seeing that. Like I said, if you're hearing what I'm saying and you don't want to hear it and you feel the need to change the station, I hope you don't. And I think that this is resonating with a lot of people. I mean, how could it not? How could it not? It happened again. And it happened right up the road from us. And I'm here to tell you, I tweeted this. If this could happen in Thousand Oaks, this can happen anywhere, and it will. And it will again, unless we do something. DRod2203 tweets, you're right. This is a sports show. But some things are above grown-ups playing children's games. Mad respect for breaking format. NBMitch07 tweets, Rome, thank you for saying something. This isn't about politics. It's about our communities. We need to stop letting special interest groups like the NRA divide us so they can sell more product. The vast majority of Americans agree that sensible reforms are needed. Right. This is not about politics. As you know, I keep politics out of the program to the best of my ability. Something's got to be done. Something got to be said. All right, let's go to the telephones, 1-800-636-8686. Phone lines are open. Let's go to Appleton, Wisconsin. Kevin, nice to have you on the show. How are you?
Fine. Hi, Jim, first-time caller. I normally don't call into shows like this, but I just had a comment on your take on all this. I agree with you 100%. If people have problems and they're having issues in their life, the answer isn't to go out and harm other people. We have to have respect for human life. They've got to go seek help. They've got to do whatever, talk to family, talk to friends, take care of their issues. Just because you're having a bad life doesn't mean you got to mess up everybody else's. It's just, it's a selfish, cruel act. And as a society, we have to have more respect for human life than that. Actually, all life. But it's just really upsetting to me because, like you said, it's so commonplace. I was at work, I was in the break room, and people are just going about their normal business, and the coverage was on TV, and I just, people don't even pause and look at it anymore. They just walk by like nothing's going on, and it's really sad that that's the point we've come to in society. So that's all I have to say about it, and thank you for the time.
And thank you for your time. You know, I think about those families and the families that lost loved ones and those survivors who now have to live with this. I think about that father that I mentioned, who had his son whose phone was in that bar and the phone's not moving and he can't find his son and his friends are calling up at 1 a.m. telling him about the shooting. And as I mentioned, you know, our thoughts and our prayers go out to the victims and the families and their friends and the survivors who had to witness this and live with this for the rest of their lives. But how many times can we say thoughts and prayers and then we move on and we'll say never again, never again, but it keeps happening again and not enough is getting done. Thoughts and prayers are necessary, but it's not enough because it's not changing anything. There have been so many thoughts and prayers after so many mass murders over the years. If that were enough, it would stop happening, but it's not. It happened a couple of weeks ago. It happened again. And again, this area that I'm talking about, Thousand Oaks, you know, I've been up there and I said, a number of you live there. A number of you have been there. A number of you have seen your kids play sports there. It's a suburban community. It's a really nice place. If it could happen there, it could happen anywhere, and it will again. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Ivan in Hesperia, California. Nice to have you, Ivan. How are you?
Good, Jim. Good. Thank you. You know, my wife and I, we woke up obviously to this horrific news this morning. We have a son that goes to UC Santa Barbara, proud Gaucho parents. Son lives in Isla Vista. Just want to give him a shout out to them. We look at each other and we say, you know, what are the odds? What are the odds that our son went down there? You know, it's, you know, obviously, you know, the area, you know, it's an hour away, you know, about an hour from the campus. And let's just send him a text. You know, we send him like at 7:30 in the morning. We send him a couple of texts, no response. And then screw it, I'll just call him. So I call him once, twice, three times. And anxiety really kicks in. And you keep thinking, well, what are the odds? What are the odds? Because, you know, my son and his friends, you know, they like going down there. You know, they like hitting different spots, you know, in Ventura, whatever. And the anxiety is real. It starts kicking in. And then it's not till, you know, our son calls us back where, you know, what's wrong, guys? And he didn't even know the news. And we're upset. I don't mean to pull a Jeff in San Antonio, but I mean, he's like, what's wrong? And I tell him, son, you know, obviously, you know, this is what happened. And just to, you know, my wife and I, we start talking just to think about the parents that will always feel that anxiety and never hear their kid call back. It was something, I mean, I can't believe how hard it hit us today. You know, again, you think of what are the odds that he was there, but what are the odds of this happening in a town like Thousand Oaks, or, you know, a nice, quiet town like that? And again, no one's safe. No one's exempt to this type of violence and crime that happens to us nowadays. But I swear, more than anything, I appreciate you bringing this out, you know, and going breaking format. It's awesome. I mean, I really appreciate your show, and thank you just for giving us this time to really speak about this, what's going on.
I mean, you got it. I appreciate your thoughts very much. You know, understand that the entire show, I don't suspect, is going to be like that. You know, if we want to talk about this for an entire day, we could. I'm fine with that, too. I've got other topics. I've got some interviews. But if you want to call in and share your thoughts and talk about it, go ahead. Denlesks is participating. And I think, actually, he sums this up very well. Jim, there were students from Cal State Channel Island, Moorpark College, Cal Lutheran, and Pepperdine in attendance at college night at Borderline Bar and Grills last night. What a horrific night it must have been for parents of students at those schools waiting to hear if their child was okay. Thoughts and prayers must be accompanied by tangible actions and real change in how society deals with mental illness and access to guns. But in the wake of this tragedy, which occurred only hours ago, our thoughts and prayers go out to the people who were wounded and the families and the schools of the people who lost their lives, including Ventura County Sheriff Ron Helas, who entered the building to protect those inside. Denlesks, I agree with everything you just said. I mean, a college night. These kids were line dancing in a bar where they thought they were safe. It was Thousand Oaks. College night and line dancing, a church, a movie theater, a concert, a suburban community. It can happen anywhere. And it will again if something's not done. And again, I don't have all the answers. In fact, I really don't have any answers. I just know that what we're doing is not good enough because it keeps happening over and over and over again. Let's go to Texas this time. Jason, nice to have you on the show. Jason, how are you?
I'm good, Jim. Hey, man, you're the man for putting us on, breaking format. I just want you to know that, you know, this has got to stop. I mean, we got to do something. And to date, I don't think anyone's tried anything. And it's a shame.
Yeah, Jason, it is. Thank you very much. It's horrific. It's a shame. It's a tragedy. It's terrifying. It's horrific. I'm telling you, I know this area. I don't care where you live. It could happen in your neighborhood. It's happening. It can happen anywhere. And if this is the new normal, and this is what we accept, and this is okay, and we don't do anything, it will continue to happen, and it can happen anywhere. We go to Michigan. Fred is on the line. Fred, how are you?
Hey, Jim, I'm good. I wake up this morning, and first thing I do is I turn the news on, and I see this. And my first thoughts are, man, you just hurt for people. You just hurt for people. And then the second thought I have is, what the heck is wrong with people? I can't comprehend why somebody would ever want to make a decision like this. I mean, I'm a father of three kids. I, I'm a pastor here in Michigan. I'm also a chaplain in the Michigan State Police. I am a pro gun guy. I'm a hunter. But Jim, I'm not an NRA member. Matter of fact, they call me, want me to join. I'm not interested in that. It's not a political thing for me, and I just can't comprehend. My thought on this is people are always wanting to talk about when something like this happens that we need gun reform. You know, I don't disagree with that, but I think to an extent it's a little bit of a lazy thought, because then all of a sudden we're thinking that, okay, so if this person couldn't have gotten his hands on a gun or a weapon today, that are we all to believe that he would have made the decision that, oh, you know what, I'm just going to live as a good citizen in society today? That would not have happened. When people are acting and thinking like this, they will go to whatever extreme they need to go to. So more than anything, this is a civility issue. This is a human decency issue. This isn't political. And I wish that our politicians would quit trying to curry favor with that. This is not a political issue. This is a love thy neighbor issue, right? A love thy neighbor. Jesus gave us two commands, love God and love each other. We don't need any more than that. Why can't we figure out those two things?
Right.
Love God and love each other. It's
Fred,
that simple.
Yeah, let me jump in. Fred, I appreciate that. It's extremely upsetting, and I don't have the answers. I don't have the solutions. I'm just stating what I think is very obvious. What we're doing is not working. What we're doing is not enough. It's not a case of never again. This will never happen again. It keeps happening over and over and over again, and with greater frequency, not less. So I'm not sure exactly what the answer is. I just know that what we're doing is not working. And I'm just really getting tired of thoughts and prayers and a moment of silence. And then let's go back to our life and just hope it doesn't happen again, because it will. It is. Let's go to Utah. Bo in Utah. Hi, Bo. How are you?
Hey, Rom. How's it going?
It's good. Good.
You know, I'm sick about this. I grew up in Ventura, California. My parents live out there. I used to go to the borderline all the time. It took at least 5 to 10 minutes to get in because they checked you. They made sure you didn't have guns or weapons or anything. Then they turn right around and say, that's an infringement on people's rights. So then they let people start carrying guns and threatening people. And then this happens. They need to just get a clue. I mean, how many more lives do we have to lose for people to finally make a statement and say enough is enough?
Exactly, Bo. I mean, how many more lives do we have to lose? Thank you. He said he used to go to that bar. How many more lives do we have to lose? How many more mass murders does there need to be before something's done? And thoughts and prayers are necessary. Moment of silence is fine. But this in and of itself is not going to fix this, clearly. All right, you have your telephone number. You know where to find me on Twitter. When we come back, Michael Malone, the head coach of the Denver Nuggets, will be my guest. In sports, there are smart moves, and then there are some not-so-smart moves. Getting to practice on time, I would consider that smart. Parking in the coach's spot, not so smart. The same is true when you're hiring. There are smart ways, and then ways that are not so smart to get things done, like job sites that overwhelm you with tons of the wrong resumes. That's not very smart. But posting a job on ZipRecruiter and letting them find the right candidates for you, that is smart. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes, identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, and then actively invites them to apply. This way you get qualified candidates fast, which is why it's rated number one by employers in the U.S., based on Trustpilot ratings of hiring sites with at least 1,000 reviews. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Rome. Once again, try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/ROME. If you're looking for a smart way to find the right talent for your team, go to ZipRecruiter.com/Rome. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Here is your bottom of the hour.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Denver Nuggets are on quickly this season. They are 9-2. They're in first place in the Northwest Division. We are joined right now by their head coach. He is in his fourth season with the Nuggets. He agreed to a two-year extension last month. They are in first place, and they are hosting Brooklyn tomorrow night. The head coach of the Nuggets, Michael Malone, is my guest. Michael, great to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's always good to be on with you, Jim.
Always good to have you, Michael. Thanks so much. I know you're coming off a tough loss to Memphis last night, 89-87. You never want to lose a game, obviously. But how about one positive aspect? How pleased were you with the way your defense held the Grizzlies to 39 points in the second half?
Yeah, obviously, I think a big part of us getting off to such a good start and being 9-2 has been the defense. And after 11 games, I think we're second in the NBA in defensive efficiency, which means we've come a long way on that end. Very small sample size. Hopefully, we can continue that for the rest of the year. But last night in Memphis, our defense definitely kept us in the game and gave us chances. Unfortunately, that loss came down to our inability to take care of the ball, having 19 turnovers for 23 points on the road, which, as you know, Jim, is going to make it very hard to win against a quality opponent.
It's going to make it tough, especially against a quality opponent like that, Michael. But you're doing this. You're off to a great start, and certainly it's not with smoke and mirrors. I mean, this is legitimate, and you're doing it, for instance, without Will Barton, who's recovering from a hip injury. What's that tell you then about the depth of this team, that you can lose a quality player like that and then other guys will step up?
Yeah, I think it does speak to the depth, and I give a lot of credit to Tim Connelly, our president, who's put this roster together over the last 4 years since I've been here. Last season was a great example of that when Paul Millsap missed 44 games with a broken wrist, and we go 24-20. This year, Will Barton goes down in game two, and we find ways to plug guys in, whether it's Torrey Craig, Juancho Hernangómez, Malik Beasley, guys taking advantage of the opportunity given to them and going out there and helping us win games and win games at a high level. So it's great to see young guys stepping up and taking advantage of opportunities.
We're talking to Michael Malone, the head coach of the Denver Nuggets, and then some other guys I want to ask you about. Jamal Murray had that monster 48-point game against the Celtics earlier this week, and to an extent, that final shot might have distracted people from the overall performance. He's still just 21. What do you make of where his game is right now?
Well, and I agree with that. I think so much was made about the shot at the end and the unwritten rule in the NBA and being disrespectful. I think that took away from Jamal's performance, which was an incredible performance. 21 years old, playing against the number one defensive team in the NBA, and he gets 48 points, and he did it in a hell of a fashion, making tough, tough shots time after time. And Brad Stevens even said after the game they threw everything at Jamal, and he was just in one of those zones. And I think last year was a great development, growing year for Jamal. He started in the NBA as a young man, 20 years old, going into the season. And as the year went on, all the way down to our last playoff push to end the season, where we went 6-1, Jamal was fantastic. He loves the big moment, and he's not afraid of the moment. And the scary thing is he's only going to get better. And we really love our young core here in Denver.
He's just 21. Denver Nuggets head coach Michael Malone joins us once again. Now, you and I have talked about Nikola Jokic numerous times in the past because, frankly, he is one of the more compelling guys in the entire league. He had a relatively quiet game last night, but overall, it seems like he's more locked in now than he used to be. Would you agree with that? And how have you gone about coaching him and helping him to know when to have fun and when to grind?
Yeah, I think when you look at Nikola's stat line, now last night, obviously, a relatively quiet night. He only took one shot, and that one shot was the last shot of the game, which was a great look for him from the three-point line. So we need to get him more aggressive, more involved, and looking to score a little bit more. But what I love about that, Jim, is that we're 9-2, and the way Nikola plays the game, he can impact the game without scoring. He can go out there and have 16 assists in a game and dominate, and that's what I love about him. In the 4 years I've been here and the years I've been coaching him, I've seen tremendous growth as a player, but more importantly, I've seen tremendous growth in terms of his maturity, his mental toughness, his ability to handle adversity, deal with the referees. And he has to understand, obviously, this past summer, the Denver Nuggets gave him a max contract, which he fully deserves. But with that comes responsibility, and he has to understand that all eyes are on him. And when things aren't going well, all of our young players are going to look to him first and foremost. And I think he's really taken that to heart. He's trying to be more of a leader. He's trying to handle those adverse situations in a much more mature manner. And all I can see is progress, and that's all you want from a young kid. getting better, carrying his team, the face of the franchise, and that there's a lot on his shoulders, but he's handling it very well. And we're off to a great start, and Nicole is a very, very big part of that.
We are talking Denver Nuggets basketball head coach Michael Malone back on the program. Now, one guy who has yet to play, Michael, this season, but who's still making a contribution is Isaiah Thomas. Your relationship with him goes back to Sacramento. Brad Stevens was saying that when Isaiah was in Boston, he would always talk about you and how much he trusted you and that you allowed him to be himself. So how would you describe your relationship with Isaiah?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Go back to Sacramento, and I get the job, and we hit it off right away. And I think one of the reasons that we were able to establish that from early on in our relationship was my communication with Isaiah and my honesty with Isaiah. You know, Isaiah wanted to start, and I decided that I was going to start Grievous Vasquez in front of Isaiah. And I told Isaiah, I said, listen, I want you to understand this. When I make these decisions, it's not what's best for Isaiah Thomas. It's going to be what's best for our team. And I think bringing you off the bench is going to be best for our team. And you're going to close most games and finish most games for us. And he did that. That season with me as his head coach, he averaged 20 points a game, 6 assists. And I think the thing that he really loved about playing for me in Sacramento was that I never asked him to be something he wasn't. And you see that a lot in the NBA. Isaiah was a scorer in high school. He was a scorer in college. And guess what? He's a scorer now. I let him play basketball to the best of his abilities, to his strengths. I didn't want him to be something he wasn't. And I think he always admired and appreciated that, because too often guys were asking him to be a John Stockton point guard. And quite frankly, that's not who what his game was. And we stayed in touch throughout the years. And then when this summer came around, Jim, and free agency hit, everything he's gone through on and off the court in the last 2 years, he needed to play for somebody that he had history with, that he trusted and knew would look out for him. And I think that's a big reason that he decided to come to Denver. And when we get him back, obviously healthy, he's going to be a great contribution. And as you mentioned, he's contributing right now, even not playing. His leadership, his voice, his presence is really, really impactful for such a young locker room.
It's such an interesting response, Michael. And he said exactly that about you. He said there's only been 3 coaches in his life that he really trusted and wanted to play for. It was you and Brad Stevens and Lorenzo Romar. And it's because of what you just said. You did not try to make him something he's not. You let him be him. You know, when you consider what he's been through physically, what he's been through emotionally, the kind of money that maybe he thought he had but he doesn't have, what's it meant? What's it say about him that he's meant as much to your team in the locker room and that he's connecting with young players the way he has? What's it say about him as a presence and a leader?
Oh, it says everything. And I had told him, I said, listen, until we get you healthy, you know, your impact, you're not just coming here to be Isaiah the player. You're coming here to be the guy that was an MVP candidate. You're coming here to be a guy that is a veteran in the locker room, to teach Jamal Murray and Monte Morris, our young guards, how to play the game and how to learn the game and see the game. We have a quiet team, Jim, and to have Isaiah's personality, to have his leadership. You know, right after that Boston game, I had our team together in the locker room. Hell of a win for us, but I said, did any of the vets have anything to say to Jamal about the shot he just took? And Isaiah, you know, jumped into it right away and talked to Jamal about how you can't do that. The league, everybody's watching. You don't want to get that reputation because guys are going to come after you. So just to have, when you have a player saying that kind of stuff, it's so much more impactful than me saying it. And I learned that a long time ago. Don Chaney, who I work with in New York, would always say, if the coach is always holding guys accountable, you can be a good team. But when the players hold each other accountable, you have a chance to be a great team. And I think Isaiah brings that to the table. And I love him. I'm thankful that he and his family are here, and I can't wait for him to get back on the court.
Yeah, once again, so interesting that you let him make that point as opposed to making that point yourself. But, Michael, the point is also we're talking about a young player. I mean, Jamal is 21, and the league has gotten younger and younger and younger. So has that impacted the way you coach and develop players? In other words, does it put more of a premium on the relationship between the players and the coaching staff as the league does get younger?
Oh, no doubt. And I learned from my father. I was up growing up in the gym, been around the game my whole life. And one thing my father told me years ago was the greatest gift I can give any player is confidence. And I think one of the reasons all of our young players have really developed here is because they've been given a chance to play. But more importantly, Jim, they've been given a chance to play through mistakes. none of our players are looking over their shoulder and saying, am I coming out if I miss a shot or I turn the ball over? And that's a really delicate balance to develop as many young players as we have, but also to have the expectations to win at the level that we have. That's really delicate to do, and I think I give our assistant coaches, our play development staff a ton of credit. We spend a lot of time with our players, not just on the court, but off the court. I mean, I go to Europe, I go to see Nikola in Serbia, Juancho in Spain, go to see players around our country just to develop those relationships and to have that trust, that faith, and to let our guys know that we really care about them as people first and players second.
Michael Malone is my guest. Michael, before you go, one last guy on your roster I have to ask you about. You've got so many fascinating players on that roster, guys who have really helped to develop, that you've helped develop and find a new level. But I want to talk about a video clip that went viral in training camp. It's a video of a guard from Loyola by the name of Michael Malone running a drill. And I've got to say, you had Jamal Murray on his heels with your ball handling. At what point they had a W along the sideline just to get the ball out of your hands. How would you describe your game these days?
No game. Hey, Jim, I feel bad that you wasted time even watching that clip. But, you know, what I try to do I'll pick my spots, but I'll hop into practice drill, especially in training camp. You know, during the lockout one year when I was an assistant coach in Golden State, we went down to watch the Niners practice with Coach Harbaugh, and it was like a college atmosphere, and he was getting in the drills with his players, and he was hopping in with the quarterbacks, and I loved it, and that's something that always stuck with me, and I'll hop out there, and for some reason, when I hop in a drill, the intensity goes way up. Guys can't wait to hit me, to screen me, to try to get into me, so we have fun with it. We have a great group of guys, and I'm thankful we're off to a great start, and hopefully that can continue tomorrow night against Brooklyn.
Michael, what do you mean wasting my time? I've been watching it all morning long. We're still running it on CBS Sports Network. I'm awed by it. I'm awed by the handle. I'm awed by the intensity. You're breaking ankles. You're sending a message. I love it. It's absolutely awesome. The Nuggets are out quickly. They are 9-2. Michael Malone is their head coach. Michael, so good to get caught up. Appreciate the relationship and the conversation, as always. Great to have you back.
Same here, Jim. I look forward to being on with you again, man. All the best.
Yeah, you too. That was great. Michael Malone joining us. What a good head coach. Such a great coach. Great leader. Great personality. And he's got that East Coast grit. I love it. And great handle. Great handle. Denver's 9-2. They are at home against Brooklyn tomorrow night. They're out fast. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. He was born in Queens. He went to Seton Hall Prep. Then on to Loyola University in Maryland. All right, looking ahead to hour number two, you know, you want to talk old school. Again, I had an amazing conversation with Gary Payton. Podcast is always interesting. If I can't get guys physically in the same space in studio, it's always tough on a phone line. Number one, you want a good, clean phone line. That's never a guarantee. And number two, when you do a long-form conversation, and for the podcast, we'll have people on 25 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes. It's always tougher to do over the phones, and you wonder how engaged you're going to be. The gloves showed up like a boss. Like, what do you think? When you think of Gary Payton, what do you think? You think of a guy who's fierce. You think of a guy who's relentless. You think of a guy who will never back down. You think of a guy who will give you the hands. You think of a guy who's talking junk, relentless and endless. And they showed up exactly like that on the phones for Podcast 48. It is so good. So I'm going to reset that for you next hour, too. The Falcons are playing well. Running back Tevin Coleman is my guest next hour. This email says, Dear Rome, when, not if, Trevor extends his cooler to 8 blown picks, will you change the name of the Prices Pick segment to The Price is Wrong, Bitch?
Price is Wrong, Bitch.
The new name is far more accurate and lets people know that they can cash out by fading his picks. I unfortunately learned this lesson too late. I am literally fingering this email out on my iPhone due to a recent accident that left me with two broken thumbs. Signed, Jason in Cbus, gambling degenerate. All right, then, do what you want with this pick. It seems to me there's no way a guy who played the game at that level could miss 8 times in a row. It's one of the great sports oddities ever. But if you want to fade his picks and you're getting paid doing that, we're here to help. Hour number two, straight ahead. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Thank you for listening. See you in a few minutes. Do not go anywhere.